With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports, medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazine, and UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader today. Joining us, coming back, Dr. Sean McMillan. He's the chief of orthopedics. He's a sports medicine specialist at Virtua Willingboro Medical Center in New Jersey, along with Joe Chura. He's an entrepreneur, a podcaster. He's the founder of Go Brewery, an award-winning craft non-alcoholic brewery. Then the sports doctor's in, some Bob Guida wisdom, your emails. First, I want to welcome back Sean McMillan. Welcome back to the sports doctor.
Bob, thanks for having me on.
Hey, Dr. Sean, give us some background on yourself and your sports medicine orthopedic specialty.
Yeah, I mean, sports is my love, Bob. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I'm an orthopedic sports medicine specialist for Virtua Health Systems right here in South Jersey, about 20 minutes outside of Philly. Did my specialty sports training at the University of Massachusetts, where I got to work with the Red Sox, among other teams, and really just focus on innovative biologic ways to get our young athletes back on the field safer, quicker, and without the need for opioids.
Do you know Dr. Nick DeNobile?
I sure do. Good guy.
Yeah, he's been on the show more than you. couple of my favorite orthopedic surgeons. You know, the world of youth sports is and the epidemic of overuse, both mentally and physically, of youth sports injuries is very, very alarming. You know, when we read that some of your colleagues are doing Tommy John surgery on 14-year-olds. I know you're a big educator in the world of sports medicine. And how has the world of arthroscopy really thrived in the crazy world of sports med?
Yeah, Bob, I'll tell you what. Arthroscopy has progressed so much. We're able to use, you know, tiny, tiny cameras now, sometimes as small as, you know, 1 or 2 millimeters big. So we're not causing as much damage to the patients. We have ways of regenerating ligaments and tendons like the ACL and the rotator cuff that just didn't even was possible, you know, a decade ago. So we're moving along and we're finding ways to sort of cut down the recovery time and get people back their lives sooner.
How's your sports psychology skills when you're dealing with the parents and or coaches of some of these young athletes, Dr. Sean?
You know, it's one of the biggest challenges, Bob, we have, and we've actually partnered up with some local sports psychologists, particularly for some of our younger athletes, because you know this, you know, we see a drop-off after the injury where maybe we physically say you're ready to go, but they just don't have the desire or they're nervous. So I think that's a big part of the rehab now.
Oh, yes, and with the tremendous attention with concussions and the problems many times with these kids not being willing even to admit that something hurts because of the pressure to play, sometimes the pressure from parents and or coaches when we're talking sometimes about these situations. And it's amazing, you know, the ACL injuries, it's one of the most prominent things in sports medicine, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, ACLs, I mean, we say it's an endemic, right? But the truth is every year, this time of year, we're seeing, you know, a handful of kids come in and they're usually non-contact injuries, Bob. And that's something you could shed some light on where, you know, really it starts with, you know, their feet, their ankle support, and some of the things that worked themselves up to the knee injuries, but they're devastating, and you know, we're good at putting them back together, but it's a shame when we see them.
Yeah, it's still 4-5-1, girls to boys, and the female athlete with wider hips and a different cue angle, the biomechanics of the foot is key. One of the challenges is many times if the feet don't hurt, nobody pays attention to the role of biomechanics. It's amazing. I'm a sports podiatrist, and 50% of the girls I've seen over the decades are knee problems. They didn't tear anything, but they're hurting. So many times, again, the cooperation, and I'm glad to see that you've teamed up with some sports psychology, too. It's such a big challenge when you see the pressure many times. It comes along with, you know, now the when someone used to be out, it seemed, for over a year post-ACL injuries. Now, again, how fast are you getting them back on the field? I'm scared to ask you.
Yeah, so, Bob, I'm still pretty much a purist where, you know, depending on the sport, I like to keep them out 9 months, you know, just because there's so much that goes into it than just simply passing a muscle test. So, you know, the earliest we get them out there, you know, if it's straight line running stuff is, you know, probably, you know, 5-6 months. But the reality of it is any sort of soccer, football, you're looking at 9 months or so.
You know, you mentioned a major word that hit me. You said non-contact. With these tearing in knee ligaments. And this is always one of, you know, again, when there's traumatic contact, you land wrong, you step in a hole, someone lands on you, you get tackled. That makes a lot of sense. Changing direction, normal running, coming down from a jump, a lot of times it's a whole different story. And as an orthopedist, you pay huge attention, Dr. Sean, to prehab or prevention, don't you?
Yeah, it's something that we'll do routinely this time of year where we'll run some clinics just to make sure that we can sort of identify some athletes at risk. You see the big valgus malalignment to their knee. We put them through some jumping and see they just have awful jumping form. And we'll try to get them into an early program where they're doing some exercises. And there's some awareness on the parents' part as well.
You know, and again, some of the different challenges, again, you know, especially in youth sports, the whole painkiller world. The opioid crisis, all of these overdoses and the routine use many times for injury or post-surgery. And I know that you've been a pioneer in trying to, as much as possible, get away from the reliance. You know, years ago, doctors would give a prescription for 30 pills, something like that, and we were in such trouble. Talk a little bit about the attention that you've been paying to trying to get away from opioid dependency or use post-op.
Yeah, it's something we've really taken serious over the last, you know, probably 8 to 10 years here at Virtua, and we've done a lot of things. It really starts, Bob, with patient education. We had to talk in the office before the surgery on what our plan's going to be for pain management, so that way there's awareness and they understand what's going on. We try to use what's called multimodal medicine, so non-narcotic meds in conjunction with an opioid if needed, so that way the opioid needs are reduced. And then we like to utilize nerve blocks and other agents to sort of minimize any sense of pain early on. But we've been able to get patients, like you mentioned, ACLs used to get a script for 30 or 40 pills. We're sending them home now with 5 pills, and you know, they're not calling for refills. So it's definitely been a game changer for us.
I think that's the real big intelligent change that we've seen. You know, these painkillers, hey, they're very, very effective. They really, really help. But short term. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you back years, you could probably catch 2 or 3 shows where we had Dr. Sean McMillan with us. If you go over to newspaper articles, magazines, we have thousands of followers on these platforms. Twitter at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. I can't tell you how many guests we get from LinkedIn and or the Twitter world, and we're always interested in a myriad of topics in the world of health, wellness, fitness, and sports medicine. We're talking with Dr. Sean McMillan. Dr. Sean, what's the best site people can go to find out about you, the practice, the location?
Yeah, so our web address is www.drseanmcmillan.com. Doctor spelled D-R. So drseanmcmillan.com. And there's information on there, Bob, about opioid-sparing surgery and what's new and innovative in orthopedic sports medicine.
Aha, the world of pickleball, the fastest-growing sport in the United States. I had two great tennis players as patients years ago, orthotic patients. They came in 5-6 years ago. She's 65 years old, and her foot was hurting. She said, "We're playing pickleball." I said, "What are you talking about? What's that?" And all of a sudden, it's become so incredibly popular. You did a post not that long ago talking about, because my article was about, you know, pickleball is physical. And I was seeing all of these super seniors and seniors, you know, jumping right on the court and saying, what are some of your thoughts with this whole phenomenon of pickleball?
Yeah, so it's kind of amazing. I see more pickleball injuries now than my tennis injuries. And they're not simple injuries, Bob. We're seeing Achilles tendon ruptures. We're seeing people diving for balls and breaking wrists. So rotator cuff tears. I mean, you name it. Obviously, look, you know, anything done the right way is fun. It's healthy. It's good to get moving. But, you know, no sport like that is totally benign from injury. So it's just more about
awareness.
No, we've
got to be ready. That was my point in 2021 was people, great, you want to play, fabulous, but you got to be ready. You got to be paying attention to strengthening your lower extremities as well as your upper extremities. And, you know, this is like racquetball and tennis. This is changing direction, running in different directions, and people getting all excited and jumping out on the court. This is what I was so worried about. I knew that we were going to see all sorts of overuse stuff, but I was also very concerned about what you just mentioned. We're seeing some serious injuries, and I think it's a big educational challenge as it's become so incredibly popular. It's a phenomenon.
Yeah, 100%, Bob. And look, awareness goes a long way. Health is, you know, paramount to all of us. There's no reason you want someone getting hurt when they're trying to stay healthy. But nevertheless, these sports are not benign.
So when you're dealing with your whole prehab thinking and getting these kids, like, again, I can't believe it'll be back to school soon. How are some of your different concerns, again, with the cooperation, Dr. Sean, of coaches, families, and the physician, the orthopedist, the team doc, and the communication amongst those entities? How are we doing in that area?
We're doing better. There's awareness that we provide now, not just for the, you know, the players, but the coaches. You know, we put them through training on heat exhaustion, put them through signs of concussions. Obviously, the trainers are well-versed in this as well. And there's open communication, you know. So Monday, we'll get an injury report from the trainer. Coach is copied. We're on it as well. We'll send a you know, report back on the kids we see in the office on Monday. So everyone's in the loop. There's no guessing. There's no wondering. And that way, everyone is able to sort of understand, you know, their role in this and when someone's coming back. So hopefully, we prevent injuries from slipping through the cracks.
You know, and especially it seems that the more talented the young boy or girl in whatever the sport is, the more the pressures add on with traveling teams and club teams, very, very early specialization. You know, we all want to be able to have the tremendous attention to the whole mental side of things. You know, one of the biggest stories that we've seen with Simone Biles with the her attention with the Olympics and Hutch's return. It's great to see some real attention to the mental side of things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the injury that you can't see, but it's probably the most devastating when it comes to sports injuries. And the more awareness we can bring to it, Bob, the better we're going to make it, and we're probably going to save someone's life because, honestly, you know, the depression could be too great for some of these kids that are growing and maturing and have different sort of hormones and thoughts running through their heads, and injuries throw it all out of whack.
And the getting the sports parents and sports coaches to be good listeners, right? To get these kids to be able to be honest about whether they're hurting, whether they're having a problem, and they're not worried about disappointing their mother or father or getting cut from the team or even the dependents. One of the chapters in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is youth sports and drugs. And I'm not talking about opioids or performance enhancing. I'm talking about over-the-counter pain medicines, Dr. Sean, for these kids to try to stay on the field or on the court.
Yeah, no, it's real. I mean, well, parents come in and ask for a shot of Toradol for their kids so they can play, you know, tonight or tomorrow, and we try to bring awareness that that's not, you know, not the answer. And, you know, we see so many stories from the NFL and other sports where, you know, players come out and say, look, I hurt myself more by masking the pain and getting on the field, and it just wasn't worth it.
Or, you know, a sports parent saying, you know, Dr. Sean, if my daughter doesn't take two Advil twice a day, she can't play. Her knees are killing her. And this early dependence many times on over-the-counter pain medicine, I think, is a huge problem that I don't know if we're paying enough attention to it.
No, I agree.
You know, in other words, back off the schedule. You know, take the pressure off sometimes these kids. And again, of course, when you're dealing with the college athlete and the pressure for scholarships and all of these other kinds of concerns, let alone the professionals, then this is a whole different world, isn't it?
No, 100%, Bob, 100%. And look, it starts little. Everyone's, you know, 15 and 16 at one point. And the sooner we can sort of change the paradigm there, it'll make for, you know, safer and more productive pro athletes down the road.
And the ability of the new adaptive medicine in the last couple of minutes, regenerative medicine, and some of these different aspects, the biological sides of things, I knew the time would fly with us. Sean, give me the website again. People could find out about you and all the work you're doing.
Sure thing. So it's www.drseanmcmillan.com.
One of our favorite orthopedists from the Philly area, Dr. Sean McMillan. Thank you so much for joining us. Hold on, Sean. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Again, international guest, national guest, local guest. Local guy, Joe Chura, is an entrepreneur. He's a podcaster. He's the founder of Go Brewery in Naperville, Illinois. It's an award-winning craft non-alcoholic brewery. He also is the chairman of the Naperville Police Foundation. We had him on previously. We talked about that. Hey, Joe, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Great. Joe, give us some background quickly on yourself, leading into your garage experimenting with coming up with a non-alcohol super beer.
I love this question. I'm an entrepreneur. I started at the Ford Chicago assembly line when I was 20, building the 1998 Ford Taurus. Spent 10 years at Ford Motor Company in the marketing sales division. Created a couple companies, specializes in marketing and software. They ended up growing from 0 to 800 employees, bootstrapped them. Along the way, I started drinking too much. I was unhealthy. I was just focused on the business, and that's it. And I realized that that wasn't a sustainable life. I was fortunate enough to sell the businesses in 2018 at Cars.com, and that led me to really start thinking about life in a different way and to reduce my alcohol consumption. When I saw the emergence of the non-alcoholic rise in demand and the opportunity there in my own personal journey, I thought this was really kind of the next step in my personal evolution and the opportunity to create a beer that would help a lot of other people.
You know, it's a great marriage, the marriage between the whole beer world. It's endless array in so many areas, again, of sports and even non-sports, and this new wave over these past few years of the whole non-alcoholic side. My friends on UK Health Radio, where my radio show has played for years, has a couple of different individuals very involved in that world. And the education of inclusion of the non-alcoholic. I understand you started with this in the garage.
Yeah, like all good startups do. We had this idea.
Yeah, you and Joe Jobs.
Yeah, right. I'm in good company with him. The reality is we needed to focus on product. Like you can have the best idea in the world, you can have the best marketing team in the world, but if the product is not good, it doesn't matter. Someone will try it once and they'll smile and say, "Hey, yeah, that was great," but they're not going to buy it again. And that's just a reality. So what we did is we hired the best people we could possibly hire. We got consultants in. We created a lab in my garage in Naperville. And we brewed. We reported the garage. My wife laughed at us for an entire year because I conformed it into this little brewery. And we tested 1,000 times. We failed more than we made good beer. We got other people involved. They tested too. We went through several iterations of our recipes till we felt like we had a good product. And I'm proud to say from that point, when we opened the brewery, really, we were making our own beer in January of 2023. We won 2 medals at the Best of Craft Beer Awards, competing with some of the best breweries in the world that have been around for 5 years with significant funding. So we know we're onto something good here.
Well, you know, the alcoholism and the whole problems associated with it is no news to all of us, understanding what a challenge that is, and the idea of being able to, again, come up with something that would be alcohol-free, but maybe would have the taste and even the camaraderie side of all that action that beer is involved in. The acceptance seems to be, or acceptance rather, in the overall population is growing exponentially, isn't it?
It is growing exponentially. That is very correct. It's the only category in beverage, when you talk about adult beverages, that's actually growing. This year, just in Chicagoland alone, it'll increase 30%. To put that in perspective, craft beer is decreasing by 3%. So people are waking up more and more saying, "I don't want to drink as much. I understand the health implications of long-term alcohol use or misuse, and I want to live a healthier life." That said, this isn't about teetotaling either. This isn't like a binary decision someone has to make. What we're talking about for the majority of our customers, which is about 50% or so that we survey, most people just want to reduce their alcohol consumption. They don't want to necessarily eliminate it.
I think that's a big, important point. You're not trying to change the world 100%. You want another option that happens to be on the health and wellness side. Welcome to the Sports Doctor, my friend. But this is, I think, a very, very big deal. Do you think in some way, shape, or form that there might be a non-alcoholic wine? What do you think, Joe?
Oh, there is a non-alcoholic wine. There's plenty of
there
wines.
Is?
There's plenty of, oh, yeah, there's plenty of good beverages. The challenge with wine's a little bit different, though, because with wine, like unlike beer, there's 4 or 5 different methodologies to make non-alcoholic beer. And we use a way in that we make it the same exact way you'd make a regular beer. We just modify ratio, time, and temperature. When you're talking about wine, the only real way is to extract the alcohol out. Once you do that, you have a grape juice, right? So wine has this unique characteristic.
You know, there's a real cultural challenge, Joe, around the world. We've had a couple of guests talking about this exact topic, and they talked about culturally the God forbid the non-alcohol wine. This is a whole other challenge. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or
it
not
is.
They can get
it's
past that besides the actual drink itself. You know, your interaction, you're the chairman of the Naperville Police Foundation. You're very involved in getting the community involved with the police, the whole fitness side. When in the past, when I had the former mayor Steve Chirico on, we talked about how important it was, the overall fitness side, the health and wellness side of Naperville, and how the police prided themselves in that side of things. How's that going?
It's going fantastic. In fact, the chief of police, he ran the Chicago Half Marathon with us as a member of the Go Brewing team. He's a customer here at Go Brewing as well. So I think you know, if you're talking about the police and how they view health and wellness, he's a huge champion of that. And not only talks about it, but walks the walk for sure. I should say runs the run.
When you're talking about, again, first responders, you got to be an athlete. And this is something I've talked about on the Sports Doctor for decades with different professionals, for example, whether it was in the fire department world or the police world, about that very side, or the military. Again, where we might be talking about lugging around all sorts of different equipment and all sorts of demands, and the fact of at least including how important it was on the health and wellness side. And it's an interesting how on both sides of the equation, Joe, you get involved in that situation where paying much more attention, you know, to the health and fitness side. Yeah, wasn't it that? Was that the Naperville Half Marathon recently?
The Naperville Half's coming up. There was the Chicago Half Marathon in Garfield Park, the one I was referring to. Naperville Half's coming up in a month or so.
Did you play sports growing up yourself?
I did, yeah. I went to Mount Carmel. My claim to fame is I was in a dunk contest with Donovan McNabb and Antoine Walker, and I lost first round, but I wasn't quite 6 foot at the time, but I could dunk the ball, and I definitely grew a bit and was really just a kind of a basketball fanatic. Played baseball and football as well, but basketball is my main sport.
Yes, a lot of times we see we have a contest a couple of times a year on the Sports Doctor. We always ask the question, which is which sports require the best athletes, and like basketball comes up a lot, as well as tennis and/or football when it talks about the athletic demands. Donovan McNabb, hey, that's a must have been an interesting contest, Joe.
I went up and just did a little dunk, and he dunked from nearly the free throw line. Antoine just did a tomahawk, and this guy Willie Jones ended up winning and went to Loyola afterwards and did. I swear on this, he grabbed the backboard, top of the backboard with his left hand, and then dunked it with his right. And at least that's the vision in my mind. But I was pretty much annihilated after those three went.
Tremendous tradition of sports, Mount Carmel, to say the least.
In
so many different areas. It's funny with our first guest, Dr. Sean McMillan. We were just talking about the endless challenges with youth sports and the physical and mental demands many times on these kids and the epidemic of overuse injuries, both physically and mentally, because of some of the pressures that are involved. And again, and another big topic, again, for years on the Sports Doctor is all these areas of addiction. We were talking about pain pills on the one side, but we've had various marriage counselors, parents, educators, again, talking about the challenges of alcoholism and how early things might start, and adding some healthy alternative. I would imagine that parents and coaches groups have embraced what you do with Go Brewery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is a ton of that we see here in our tap room, and just the online communities of fitness and wellness, from OCR athletes to track and field to teams. In fact, my daughter's swim team, I'm a swim team announcer now, I think officially, and they were all here, and it's great because people can have a beverage and not have a hangover the next day. And you know, if you're going to one of those meets, it's brutal. You're sitting there for 6 hours. You don't want to be hungover.
Well, there you are as a sports dad. You fit right in, man, to my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. You know, there's a chapter in my book. It's called The Prodigy Sports. And we talk all the time, Joe, in sports medicine and physical therapy, athletic training, the importance of let's play lots of different sports, use different parts of the body, not specialize too early. But swimming has always been one of the sports. Again, figure skating. We could talk even soccer. In some instances, tennis, where we might see 10, 11, 12-year-olds, and this is all they're doing. So the idea, again, of many times educating the parents and the coaches, you'll have to mix some of that in your broadcasting. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you, and I tell my kids all the time, you know, they get fixated on one thing, and I'm like, what if you're talented in basketball or something else that you're not even attempting?
That's great, unless what you love is swimming. You know, Dad, I don't think you heard me. I love swimming. I want to do it 6 days a week. This is what I want to do. And then we come up with special programs, again, for these kids to try to stay out of overuse injuries or all of these shoulder problems. You know, I had a famous young swimmer who was a patient of mine, and people would say, what are you talking about? She's barefoot. What is she doing with orthotics? I said, she's running 5 miles a day as part of her training for swimming. And that was the connection. Are you still podcasting?
I put it to the side a little bit, just given my my workload with this new venture with the brewery. Something had to give. It was that or my family life, and I wasn't going to sacrifice that.
Absolutely, you know, you're talking about those kinds of challenges. But you know, when we have people on the mental side of the world coming on the Sports Doctor again and talking about, I call it the mental game, you know, whether you're the best athlete in the world or whether you're their parents or whether you're their coach or you're trying to stick with whatever the program is, even the idea, again, getting back with, you know, alcohol, with some of those challenges, the mental game is a huge game. And again, the entrepreneurship, people who spend this, can put this kind of attention to something like that and then change it over to maybe community relations, I think is a tremendous marriage.
Yep, I agree.
How have you found the, I'm going to talk more about some of that whole connection. We're talking with Joe Chura. Again, Go Brewery, the award-winning non-alcoholic brewery in Naperville, Illinois. And we will be right back, everybody. It's Sports Doc. Hey, we're back, everybody, on the Sports Doctor. We're talking with Joe Chura. We're talking about the non-alcoholic brewery, Go Brewery. And what are some of the different types, Joe, and options that people have when you're talking about the whole world of non-alcoholic brewery? What are some of the flavors and or specialties?
I want everyone to close their eyes and imagine their favorite beer, because that's what it is. It's really, we have created over 20 different styles since we've been open here. Everything from sour IPAs, sours to a double IPA, which we just came out with. We've had Cerveza Chelada, which was a great summer drink. We're coming out with an Oktoberfest. So any style that you can imagine, we're creating. We're creating a donut flavored stout soon. It's quite fun to be able to think of something and create it just like any other brewery would.
Well, it's amazing, too. You know, when you talk about the major brands of beer, these household names, you know, the Budweisers and the Anheuser-Busch's and whatever, it's amazing how everywhere you look. And how is the comparison to the beer taste, whether it's high-calorie, low-calorie beers? How has been that comparison that people are making to what their favorite beers might be that they've been doing for 20 years?
You know, it certainly depends on the style. If you're used to a heavy, hazy IPA beer and you have one of our hazies, you're going to probably feel a different mouthfeel. It'll be a little bit lighter. You're not going to also get that bloat that you would normally get with a heavier beer. But like a sour beer that we have, you can't even tell the difference between an alcoholic sour and our sour. I would say another beer that is like our Pilsner, that's really hard to distinguish between an alcoholic Pilsner as well. But when it comes to those hazy beers, that's where I think you can tell, because the alcoholic versions are so high in calories that it gives that kind of that heavier feel on the mouth.
Yeah, you just that's exactly what I was going to ask you. You beat me to it. What's the calorie comparison of non-alcoholic and alcohol beers, just kind of generally?
It's a fraction of what an alcoholic beer is. So to put in perspective, because I think context is important, average beer, let's say it's 250 calories-ish. I'm not talking about like an Ultra Light or Miller Light, but an average craft beer is 250 calories. Our average beer is 50 calories. So it's one-fifth of the calories. Our sour is 60 calories. Our highest sugar content beer, which only has natural sugars from mango and peach, which is our Sunshine IPA. It's a tropical IPA. It's our most popular beer. That has 99 calories. That would be, that counterpart in the alcoholic version would be at least 300. So you're looking at one-third to one-fifth of the calories of a regular beer.
How has the community, the AA, all of these organizations, these communities of help in so many areas to so many families, has there been any response from that world in general to this, the non-alcoholic excitement in breweries?
This is such a good question, and I think I was mentioning this maybe on your show the last time. This is what took me by surprise. I thought that community would be taboo to have them in a non-alcoholic brewery. And I only thought that because I thought it would trigger a response for them to want to drink again. And the day we opened, more than half the our brewery was filled with people in recovery or AA that just had stopped drinking. And since then, what I realized is people on a spectrum. There's people like my brother that was sober for 2 years. He had to go to rehab. He should not be having non-alcoholic beer because that could trigger him. And then there's people that live for it, that this is very normal, and there's no chance
that
they would ever be
triggered. That's an interesting point, you know, interesting point with the mental side, even though in giant letters it says non-alcoholic, on that mental camaraderie social side, whether it would stimulate somebody in recovery. That's an interesting point.
And it wouldn't be the alcohol, because the alcohol
right.
in our beer has less than what's in most fruit juices, less than what's in most fermented breads. But the reality is, it's the taste
that can
trigger.
Is alcohol in fruit juices?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. There's trace amounts of alcohol in so much of what we eat and drink.
You know, getting back to the police force and first responders and the whole challenge again of health and wellness and how important it is in the world of alcoholism and all of these sides of, I would imagine it's an educational side that's been an interesting one to be involved with. Again, when you're talking about the police force, the fact that like all other groups, alcoholism is absolutely a big, big challenge. I would imagine you're an educator, Joe.
I try to be, but you know, I try to lead by example. Like I
good send them the radio help. Show. It'll be a great
yeah.
addition.
No, I absolutely will. But you know, I try and live a healthy lifestyle. I try to be a good human being. I mean, so many of our first responders are like that, and they're customers, and they're just amazing, amazing human beings.
Yeah, we just got to keep an eye on you. You know, with your running half marathons and swinging around kettlebells, we got to make sure that we pay attention to prevention and not run into overuse injuries. Well, you're calling me tomorrow, telling me your ankles are killing you. You know what I mean?
You know, I believe in being a hybrid athlete at my age. I'm 45 years old, and I like to get into a little bit of everything. I don't over-index on any sport.
Well, here's my pearl for the day from the sports doctor, which is number one, routinely conclude strengthening your feet and ankles and work balance, work stability. It will help in all the different sports at all different ages where we see individuals in your age group. Sometimes, again, we were just talking about pickleball, how we run into so many different injuries because of people jumping in when they're really, really not ready. So that's my pearl for the day with you guys.
I like it.
Brewery,
I like
you know
it.
What I mean?
I love it.
You know, when you find yourself again dealing with the constant creativity, I would imagine, of new options and brews, is that an active area in the non-alcoholic brewery world? New things?
Oh, my gosh. It's absolutely. It's just that there's so much innovation, and that's honestly the fun part. And I should say the difference between our brewery and other breweries is we sell online. So we sell to almost every state, and you could buy it on our website at gobrewing.com. We're on Amazon. We're Amazon's recommended pick on a lot of our
yes.
beers. But
I
what
can't
that allows
we
us...
ran out of time with you. So gobrewing.com, Joe?
Gobrewing.com, yes.
GoBrewing.com. Again, Joe Chura, he is the founder of Go Brewery and the chairman of Naperville Police Foundation. Joe, thanks so much. Definitely going to have you back. As
you rock, Dr. Bob. Whole, thank you. Thanks
whole
for
world.
Having me on.
Hold on, Joe. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, we are back. It is the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview some upcoming shows and guests. We add a little bit of Bob Guida wisdom. And we answer a couple of emails. We're going to have a replay next week on one of our most popular shows, the CEO of Baseball Blue Book, Eric Wabena, is my first guest on that show. Baseball Blue Book originated 1909. His family's been involved, I think, about 40 years. There's all sorts of new excitement upcoming with Baseball Blue Book. I'm in the middle of it. Look forward to that. Speaking of baseball, one of my old patients, coach, international coach, Pete Caliendo, as we speak, I think he's in Italy with his team, will be also joining us, talking about his whole world of the international involvement of baseball, both amateur and professional. The following week, Katie Blanchard is the physical therapist, a specialist in the world of scoliosis, will be joining us. And a colleague in podiatry, a pioneer in functional medicine podiatry, Dr. Robert Kornfeld, will join us. Great shows, as always, coming up. Bob Guida wisdom. You know, I wanted to mention Bob Guida's fascination with the mini trampolines, with all athletes, all sports, all levels, using the mini trampolines to balance on, play catch on, swing a bat on, swing their tennis racket on or their hockey stick, and creating imbalance. He loved to look at the mini tram as a clock. So that if you were standing on the with your right foot at 3 o'clock, the mini tram would be tilting you in, pronating you, demanding strengthening all the opposites and stabilizers. If you moved across the mini tram to 9 o'clock, the forces were opposite. The demand on the body was opposite. And mixing this in, whether it was a young 7, 8, 9 year old, or whether it was the Olympic volleyball team, whether it was pro athletes like the late, great Bill Buckner, John McEnroe, Jim McMahon, the Olympic volleyball team, or your grandmother rehabilitating her injuries, the tremendous inclusion of the mini trampoline is one of the great ways to include balance training for your young athlete and or yourself. We have some emails here. Terry said, I'm a 45-year-old runner. I was diagnosed with a bursitis on the back of the heel, the attachment of the Achilles tendon. They successfully did a cortisone injection, which has really, really helped. But he talked to me about the fact that I was a excessive pronator. It's a big deal, Terry. If you've got flat-type foot, excessive pronation, you're much more prevalent to all sorts of running-related overuse injuries and Achilles tendonitis, heel spur syndrome, plantar fasciitis, all around the area of the heel are common. The great news is optimally custom orthotics, see podiatry, see sports podiatry, and they'll really set you off in the right direction. Prevention is the key. Strengthening those feet and ankles, if you listen to my just talking about Bob Guida wisdom and the mini trampoline, strengthening rubber bands and looking at orthotics to biomechanics. Ellen says my 12-year-old daughter is a serious figure skater. She's already doing double jumps. She's had trouble on the inside of her arches. She's got these bumps underneath her ankle bones. We see this a lot. There's a navicular bone, which sometimes has an extra piece developing in kids. It could be prominent, and it's susceptible to rubbing-related problems, especially when you're locked in a figure skating boot. And excessive pressure rolling in and out is one of the problems. So you want to see the person who fits her, the boot fitter, get him to punch out that area where the bump is, and include the looking at orthotics and proper support in the skates. This is one of the problems I've been putting in orthotics and skates for four decades with kids. Slowing down and controlling the motion that's rubbing that bump. Rarely is that a surgical problem. So you want to pay attention big time to the two areas. Orthotics, punch the boot out. Frank says my 14-year-old daughter plays club volleyball. She's played it for the past 3 years. She's always had problems with her knees, jumper's knees. You know, Frank, I'm going to tell you, pay attention to her feet. 50% of the young girls I see, volleyball is one of the sports, over the years in podiatry are knee problems in girls because of excessive foot imbalance. Lots of times it's ignored if the feet don't hurt, where the attention to the biomechanics. Girls, especially that age, puberty, wider hips, different angle down to the knee, excessive stress. The great news is pick up some super feet, replace the insoles in her shoes, and see podiatry and check out what shoe she's in and really look seriously at custom orthotics. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. The book I co-authored with ex-Hall of Fame volleyballer, author of 9-10 books, Sharky Zartman. I've participated in a few books with her, we talk about some of the excessive challenges in youth sports and the fact that there's an epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries in all sports at all ages, both mentally and physically. So in the book, we talk about both and include lots of expertise from different experts, Sharky being one of them, talking about sports parenting 101, the different levels, the different challenges, what's important, what we need to pay attention to if we're any parent of any kid. The second section of the book, which is the sports doctor's in, I talk about injuries, prevention of injuries, the role of orthotics, that whole challenge. Even the world of concussions, third section, Ask the Experts, where we do have 8 different experts, nutrition, physical training, parenting, mental training, all these different areas. The last section of the book is Parents' Perspectives, where we have a half a dozen parents. What's interesting is almost all the experts and the sports parents, if they haven't been parents as patients of mine, they've been radio guests. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Still important today. Get educated, sports parents. Good luck, everybody, with the return to youth sports, school turning around the corner. Thanks to our guest today, Dr. Sean McMillan, Joe Chura. See you next week, everybody. Sports Doctor.